Willie DeMace continues here on 102.5 The Game. Coming up in the next hour is Tim Hasselbeck. We'll talk, as we do every week on the show, with him about what's going on around the camps. We'll talk a little Titans with him. Tim, as many of you know, does a lot of fantasy football work during this time of the year. Of course, now he's got to do that on top of being a high school football coach over at Ensworth. So he's a busy man. He was nice enough to hook us up with our next guest here, Mike Clay, ESPN senior writer who specializes in fantasy football. It is that time of the year. It's time to get your depth charts. It's time to get the old Street and Smith out. Thank goodness we don't have to do that anymore.
Right? You went back, Willie. Goodness.
Remember the old Street and Smith? You just flip through and then a lot of stuff would be out of date by the time you draft. Like, wait a minute. That guy's hurt? He tore his ACL? Really? But Mike is on here with us. Mike, thank you very much for joining the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. And for the record, we still do the print magazine. It's still out there on newsstands.
Very
so,
nice.
You're right. Some of the rankings end up outdated if there's some major injuries. But there's good articles in there. You know, you should read that content, get some strategy advice for the season, and learn a little bit about the players. So I hear you. I grew up buying those mags off the newsstand. That's how I originally got into fantasy football. So I remember those days fondly.
I am all about the old school, so I am not opposed to grabbing the magazine here. Mike, we're looking over your 192. That's your thing. The 192 players that should be rostered in fantasy football. And I guess the first question is everybody just starts to wrap their arms around this and get started with their preparation. I think DeMace and I both looked at your number two. I think everybody would say Christian McCaffrey, even though he's getting up there a little bit in age, is so dominant. He's a fairly easy choice for number one, but Breece Hall at number two. Give us your thoughts on him. You really think this is going to be a big year for him?
Absolutely. I mean, look at what he did last season, and that was in arguably the worst offense in the NFL. I mean, they were really struggling. They had almost no passing game without Aaron Rodgers. And yet Hall, who, by the way, was coming off a torn ACL, finished seventh among running backs in touches, second in yards, so he was super effective. First in targets, catches, yards. I mean, the guy can do it as an effective rusher. I remember he had that long streak coming out of college where he scored a touchdown in like every game. And then he's obviously a big factor in the passing game, as we saw last season, still on the ascent at age 23. Much improved offensive line for the Jets. I mean, just one of them things kind of flown under their radar a little bit, but that was a big problem for them last year. Even going into the season, and then for them to just overhaul it this offseason is huge for Rodgers, for the passing game, and especially for Breece Hall. So I think he can make a case for Bijan Robinson there. I like his ceiling a little bit higher. And, of course, CeeDee Lamb's the top receiver. He can make a case there as well. But there are very few feature backs in the NFL these days, and Breece Hall is absolutely one of them.
You mentioned Robinson, and we're all big fans of Arthur Smith in this city because of his, you know, really good run as the Titans offensive coordinator. Of course, he's gone from the Falcons now. So I think we're all curious about what the new offense looks like in terms of what that does for Robinson with Kirk Cousins and a new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited for it. Forget everything you know about the old Atlanta Falcons offense. That's gone. You know, it's going to be way different. You know, whether you love or hate Arthur Smith, you know, he has his haters because of the fantasy, you know, situation.
Right. Why don't they put him in there more?
Obviously. Yeah. I mean, look, he's a sharp guy, but some of their skill guys have not reached their potential in that offense. So, you know, I expect that to be different now. Kirk Cousins is obviously going to help, having a better quarterback. That would have certainly helped Arthur as well during his time in Atlanta, not really his fault. But, you know, Robinson last year, I mean, look, despite the fact that it seemed like an underwhelming season, he was still, you know, second among running backs in targets. He ran the fourth most routes, so he's really busy as a pass catcher, was still sixth among running back in yards. So the problem really was he just didn't get the ball near the goal line. He had two carries inside the five. 56 running backs had more carries inside the five than Bijan Robinson. It just did not make sense. So now in this new Zach Robinson-led offense, I expect things to be much better. I think you'll see more carries from him, could push for 260, 280, and then still have the big role in the passing game. So the sky's the limit. Look, this guy was an early first-round pick for a reason last year. We have not seen his ceiling just yet.
We're talking with Mike Clay, ESPN senior writer. Check out his article on ESPN Plus, the 192 players who should be rostered in 2024. Now, looking at this group of wide receivers, after Breece Holmes, after the three running backs that are at the top of your list. You look at CeeDee Lamb, Hill, Chase, and Brown. Justin Jefferson is at 8. Is a lot of that because of, one, the injury, and then, two, the quarterback situation there?
Yes, no doubt. Had Kirk Cousins re-signed there, Jefferson would perhaps be number one. Maybe overall in draft. I'd say McCaffrey's still number one, but maybe number two overall. But there's a lot of question marks here with either probably Sam Darnold the first month of the season, and then at some point they'll turn it over to J.J. McCarthy. I think it's going to be a pretty quick hook there for Darnold, especially because they're going to struggle in this division. I just think that division is going to be really good this season. The Lions are much better on defense. So they're a more complete team. Chicago's on the ascent. Defense has come together nice, and now they have Caleb Williams and a really, really good group of receivers. And then, of course, Green Bay was a playoff team last year that probably should have beat the 49ers in the playoffs. So I think it's going to be a quick hook. And then you're going to put McCarthy in there, who might have a bright future, but guys, he's 21. You know, he's still young, he's still raw. It's going to take some time. There's going to be bumps in the road, and I think that's going to limit Jefferson's upside. I just don't know that he's going to be the high-end performer that we've seen in years past. He'll still be good. You know, he's awesome. He had some big games down the stretch last season without Cousins in there, but it's going to be more inconsistent. So that's why he's not as high as he usually is.
Now, do you guys dock? Because you got Saquon Barkley right at 10, right behind Jonathan Taylor, right outside the top 8 in Jefferson, rounds it out at 8. But do you knock Saquon because of the team he's on with A.J. Brown and Smith, knowing that he may not get as many targets? How do you sort of rank when you're ranking those guys, the A.J. Browns, the Devontae Smith and Saquon, all three of those guys are on the same team. How do you sort of decide who's going to be that guy and who's not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's you have to consider a few variables. So, for example, he goes from the Giants to the Eagles. So, he's not quite as important to the offense where he was the Giants' whole offense because they didn't have anyone else. He goes to Philadelphia where he has, to your point, Devontae Smith and even Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts in the running game, a lot of other guys who can make plays. However, it's a much better offensive line. It's an offense that's going to move the ball and score more often. It could be more scoring opportunities. And also, he, much like New York, he doesn't really have any competition there. You know, Will Shipley might be the two, or Kenny Gainwell. You know, he's still a very clear feature back, should be able to push for 20-some touches. They'll manufacture targets for him. He'll get the goal line carries. And look, I know Jalen Hurts is going to steal goal line carries from him. That could limit his number there. But, you know, Miles Sanders had 8 touchdowns a couple years ago in this offense. So there's still plenty of room for Barkley to have a huge season. He's going to be featured. There's a reason they spent on a running back. It's not for him to be a part-time player, right? He's going to be featured. So still a lot to like there with Barkley.
We'll talk with Mike Clay, ESPN, and ESPN senior writer. Again, check out his article on ESPN Plus, the 192 players who should be rostered in 2024. Now, here in Nashville, if you had a choice of guys to pick between the running back room with Spears and Pollard or the receiving room with Ridley, Hopkins, and Boyd, which way would you go?
Okay, so I actually have a clear favorite here. This is one of my most drafted players in fantasy this year, and it's going to be harder to pick him now, guys, because of the injury to DeAndre Hopkins, but it is Calvin Ridley. You know, I think they kind of snuck in there and stole him away from other teams. You know, he wasn't really rumored to go to the Titans, and then out of nowhere, they offered him the most money, and he signed there. And, you know, there's a reason for that. He's going to be a feature player. I think he'll be their clear number one. This is a very productive player during his career when he's been healthy in the NFL. Ran a ton of routes last year, a lot of touchdowns, obviously, because he had a lot of goal line work, and I think that'll continue in Tennessee. I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but last year, Calvin Ridley had 25 end zone targets. No one else in the league had more than 20. I mean, he was a featured player down in that area. And again, I expect the same thing in what should be a very pass-heavy Titans offense. I think they've built this offense to throw the football. And we've seen that with some of their personnel moves, including Henry out and Pollard in, and adding a good slot receiver and Tyler Boyd, which screams more 11 personnel. There's a lot set up here for them to throw it. And especially with Hopkins' injury, that should set up Ridley for a big target share right out of the gate. So He's been one of my favorite value targets. And as for the running backs, maybe you guys could tell me, because, you know, we just talked about that on the Fantasy Focus podcast today. We don't know which one to pick. We don't know if it's Spears or Pollard. It's one of the tougher things to kind of sort out in fantasy right now.
It's a good question because they have fairly similar skill sets, yeah. Right? It's not like there's one big,
right, exactly.
Big dude and one little dude. Like, they're both shifty. They both can catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't know about you, D-Mates. I think Spears has a little bit of a higher
lean more
ceiling.
Towards Spears than Pollard. One, because of, you know, and I know he's 2 years now removed from the injury, but the injury history is still there. And I know Spears had, he dealt with his own injuries in college, but it hadn't affected him thus far. So if I was leaning anywhere, Mike, it would be more so toward Tajay Spears than Pollard. Mm-hmm. But I think Pollard would be right behind him if you're talking numbers.
I like it. I've leaned toward Spears as well. It's just impressive that he was able to keep Henry on the sideline so often last year. Even though Henry was dominating the carry, Spears was so involved in the passing game and out-snapping Henry quite often. And it wasn't really a game script thing. You know, he was on the field early in game. And just to have that vote of confidence from the coaches right out of the gate as a rookie over a Hall of Famer like Henry, I think was a good sign. So I'm with you. I like Spears coming in, and that's the way I would lean as well.
Mike Clay is with us. We're talking ESPN fantasy football, just getting everybody prepared for their drafts. And for the record, in his 192 rankings, the highest-ranked Titan is Calvin Ridley at 46, and he's got D-Hop at 71, DeAndre Hopkins. Does that factor in the knee injury, Mike?
No, this actually dropped. I filed
okay.
this like
so. You had him a little bit below Ridley before the knee issue that hopefully won't keep him out too long in the regular season. But 70. So you have a little bit of a difference between those two.
Yeah, pretty big gap. I'll admit that when Ridley signed, I was a little. I had to dig into it a little bit to try and sort out how I felt about it. But you know, I think Hopkins, you know, at his age. And the investment in Ridley tells me that Ridley probably the lead there. I think he'll be the guy. And I think that's exacerbated by the injury now to Hopkins, who, by the way, is 32 years old, you know, yeah. By our standards, a young guy, but by NFL standards, you know, he's nearing the end.
Okay. Last thing for you, Mike. We all had to stomach it years and years ago when my colleague here, D-Mace, along with Samari Roll and Steve McNair, went from the Titans to the Ravens. Now we have 2.0 with Derrick Henry wearing the Ravens jersey. Where do you draft him in the fantasy? Because I think that's something we're all curious to see how much they use him.
Yeah, so I think he's going to have a very similar role to what he had in Tennessee last year, maybe on the field half the time, maybe a little more early on because Keaton Mitchell, they like a lot, is dealing with a torn up knee from last season. You have Justice Hill there, but really it's going to be the Derrick Henry show, certainly when they're running the football. So he's RB10 on my board. I think they're going to get another good year out of him. He should push for 12, 13 touchdowns in a good offense. But, you know, again, I just talked about this with Hopkins. Derrick Henry is a 30-year-old running back, and that is a major red flag this day and age. You know, you look at the last 5 years, top 15 scorers at running back, only 6%. Of them were age 28 or older coming into the season. So Henry is one of those exceptions, but now he's 30, so he's really pushing it. And that makes me a little nervous. But at the end of the day, some guys are unicorns, and he's one of them. You know, he's just the guy's going to the Hall of Fame. He's a superstar, one of the best pure feature back runners we have seen, you know, frankly, ever. You know, as you guys know, he's just been so good, so dominant, and just puts up the numbers. So I'm still believing. I'm still a believer. I think they get at least one really good year out of him.
Okay, quickly, a couple of minutes here, Mike. Will Levis, what do you think about him? I know he's not, like, in your top 100, but what do you
think
about
him? Is he in the 192, yeah. Or is he in, the, like, 198, 200? Yeah,
So last week we were doing kind of bold takes, you know, like super, super bold takes, and mine was that Will Levis has top 10 upside.
Okay.
So he's not a guy that you need to draft in most formats just because quarterback is such a deep position and he's there's so much uncertainty with Levis as being a second round guy in his second season. But at the same time, you know, we've seen the flashes from him last year. He had the 4-touchdown game. You have a play caller now who is one of the pass heaviest play callers in the NFL the last couple of years. You have, not to mention, as I talked about earlier, the personnel changes tell us that they're going to throw it a lot. And also, I know he didn't run much last year, but Will Levis, a couple of years ago, before his injury at the college level, had a massive rushing season. So he has that in his arsenal. He's a good athlete.
Yeah, we're just talking about
that. And he brings that to the table as well. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if he stays aggressive and starts running more, there's definitely a chance for him to be a sneaky fantasy option.
Mike, great stuff. Certainly got the wheels turning with our draft preparation here. This is that month of the year. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, Mike Clay, excellent stuff. ESPN senior writer specializing in fantasy football.